This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, loader works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
You see him on the SEC Network and ESPN. You hear him right here on Jocks every single day, 2 to 6. He is Paul Feinbaum, courtesy of Craneworks. He was on the eastern side of Championship Saturday. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
You are in Lexington, so we'll start there. I think if you were looking at this game, the thing you feared about Kentucky was the moment would be too big for them. And, boy, you could tell early the moment felt too big for them.
It was. And let me just start with the scene leading up to the game. And I know the game takes away from that. But it was really just a dramatic and amazing scene to look out over that crowd as we were doing our show. I had to stop a couple of times, Ryan, and hold my breath, because I really just didn't think I would ever see anything like that. John Calipari came out, as only Cal says. I really thought about not coming. I didn't want to take away from the football.
Such a Cal line.
But unfortunately, basketball season tomorrow night against Duke. That's my summation. It was a phenomenal day, but Georgia looks really good right now, and Kentucky is just not in that same league.
With Georgia, though, fixing what they did in the loss at LSU, do you feel like, as everyone now plays out to the earliest set SEC championship game ever, do you feel like Georgia, with revenge from the national championship on their mind, could be Alabama's biggest test before the playoffs?
Well, I think that's obvious, but Jim, I think Alabama has a clear path, with the exception of one thing, and I think everyone driving to work right now can guess what I'm about to say, and that's if injury strikes Tua, even more than it already has. I don't think Alabama can be beaten as long as Tua is the quarterback and he is healthy. I think we have come to that conclusion, and it didn't take 10 weeks to come to that conclusion, but I think you had to go to Baton Rouge, experience what we all knew would happen. It was an amazing scene, and deal with that, because that was a tougher task with a healthy Alabama team than what I think Georgia can bring. I just don't think Georgia A to Z can match up to Alabama. I think they're really good. They're one of the best teams in the country, but they're just not quite to the level of Alabama, especially now that the Alabama defense has decided we want a seat at this party as well. We want to participate in this countdown to what many believe could be one of the best teams of all time, if not the best, in Alabama history. So once you put that component on the board, I think all the other bets are off.
Paul Feinbaum joins us each week courtesy of Craneworks. Don't forget, the Rental Works division of Craneworks now is selling new and used equipment. Just look for that big dog downtown. You'll find them there at Craneworks. And you can hear Paul 2 to 6 every day right here on Jocks 94.5. Let's talk about Alabama and LSU. When you line up the dominant defensive performances under Nick Saban at Alabama, that one has got to be near the top of the list, Paul. And that might be one of the most surprising based on the way that defense has played some this year. Not awful, but they haven't appeared to have that vintage Nick Saban defensive edge.
Yeah, and there are a lot of theories on why what took it so long, but I think sometimes you watch a team develop over a 10-week period, and I think maybe we were quick to judge them based on the way some early season games ended, where the opponent would get a cheap touchdown. Alabama maybe get gashed early on a series or a play, but man, that was my major takeaway. Other than every time I see a defender heading toward Tua, I cringe, because it just seems like he is going to get hurt. And it's not a matter of being partisan. It's just a matter of watching a masterpiece at work. But Ryan, back to the question, I think I'm not comparing it to last year, because last year it was purely an injury situation. By the time the SEC title game, excuse me, I spoke too soon. By the time the semifinals rolled around, you could see the difference in that defense, and you could see it as well against Georgia. But you're starting to see it now, and I think it's sometimes these things just take a little bit of time with young players. But right now, anyone who doesn't want to consider Alabama's defense among the best in the country just was clearly out with Lance Taylor in New Orleans Saturday night.
Paul Feinbaum's with us, 7:06 on your drive in. Another backdrop to what went on early Saturday down in Baton Rouge was James Carville, after his performance on your show, ended up on the game day set and said some things about the SEC offices and the commissioner, Greg Sankey. Later in the day, ESPN apologized on air to the Southeastern Conference for letting Carville onto the set there. What was your takeaway? And I know where one of your paychecks come from, but what was your takeaway from the whole James Carville situation?
Well, I think if you had to find fault with anyone here, it was the inability for the game day crew to understand French Cajun. And
it is tough.
You know, I think that's the new. I saw three of the game day producers at the airport Saturday. I'm trying to remember where I was, but I think that's the new mantra, that you always have to have a translator on site. Listen, I shook my head a little bit, because the second I saw Carville show up, I held my breath, and that's what you expect from James Carville, because he's an entertainer. He's not to be taken seriously, and I don't know what went into the decision. I really don't. I have no earthly idea what that was all about. But I just think when you and guys, you do it every day as well. There are certain guests, there are certain callers that you hold your breath. You're playing with fire, and he would certainly be in that category.
Paul Feinbaum, presented each week by Craneworks. Let's move to Auburn and Texas A&M. And look, Paul, I mean, everybody knows what's going on with Gus Malzahn here, and he found some November magic last year, and that had been kind of his mantra going into this November. And, boy, it didn't look like magic for 55 minutes, but they took advantage of what Texas A&M was doing. I don't even know where to go with this. Sometimes a win like that can cover up a lot of flaws, but when you've got what's coming up for Auburn, those flaws seem like they're going to get exposed.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look backwards, Auburn's going to finish 7-5. I mean, I'm sorry. They're not beating Georgia, and they're not beating Alabama. So if you want to look at it that way, then you start thinking, where does the program go? And on the other side of that, I do think you have to give this team tremendous credit. Going on the road and beating Ole Miss, not a big accomplishment. Everyone's doing that right now. But this was a significant win, and I think the offseason is going to be perilous for Gus Malzahn, not in terms of job security, because that train has left. He will be the coach next year. It's now a matter of what he does and how he approaches the offseason in terms of making this program, or trying to make the program, elite again. And because this, you're going to look back on the season and go, wow, the Washington game could have gone the other way. The A&M game could have gone the other way. I mean, this could have been an abject disaster. I don't think it will be considered that way now. If you want to play the game at the end of the bar, they go 7-5. They get now they're in a better bowl game. That's the only downside. They moved into a tougher bowl classification, and if you end up 7-6, are fans going to be grumbling the entire offseason? Yeah, you better believe they are. But that was a significant win. I think the non Auburn takeaway is what has changed at A&M. It is November, and the Aggies are losing It's late October, early November now, and the Aggies are losing games just like they did under Kevin Sumlin.
They are, and that's got to be disturbing for Texas A&M fans, but especially for what they're paying for that. I do want to ask you, you mentioned Gus Malzahn will stay, would have to make changes. Listen, there's talk about Hugh Freeze all the time. Do you think, and we'll set aside whether or not Auburn fans would want that or Auburn will make that hire. It has been frowned upon by the office downtown here. Do you think that has changed any at all if a conference team wanted to hire Hugh Freeze as a coordinator?
I believe the biggest issue for Hugh Freeze had to do with the sanctions. And now that the sanction train has passed, I think it will be much easier. I had dinner with Coach Freeze in Oxford a couple of months ago, and I think I got a better understanding of his situation. I'm not saying that I have any more insight than you or anyone else, but spending time with him, I was able to hear him out, and I think he's very sincere about the mistakes that he has made, and I think he's also realistic that as long as Ole Miss was on probation, it was not a good look for him to be coaching against Ole Miss, if you follow me. And I think now that as the season ends and the sanctions are gone, based on what happened the other day, I think he will be back. And I think it's going to be one of the easiest predictions to make that the first call he will get will be by Gus Malzahn. They are very close friends. Hugh Freeze spent time down there about 6 weeks ago. He spent the day with Gus Malzahn, and I don't know what else he will get in terms of offers, but he will definitely get an offer from Gus Malzahn. And I think right now I would bet, even though I know he's associated with this new winter football league that we're all anxiously awaiting, sitting by our TVs waiting for it to come on, he will very likely consider that seriously. I think he'll be there next year.
Paul Feinbaum there at the end with a woe from Brownie there that he'll be there next year. It would be it'd be something Auburn fans could hang a hat on going into next year because of his success in his league.
Yeah. I think if Auburn gets Hugh Freeze, they will be getting one of the best offensive coordinators in America. Hugh Freeze is that good, and he was very good as a head coach, but as a coordinator, very few can match him for his understanding and execution of the offensive game.
Yeah, and with guys like Bo Nix coming in, he'd have weapons down there. Paul, your roots here are very deep in the Birmingham community for years and years, and you've talked about the job Bill Clark has done many, many times. But before you leave, I just would like a little bit more on your thoughts on the possibility, because they're now one win away of winning a division championship and being in the conference championship game. And even some UAB fans are now starting to scoreboard watch after Houston lost this weekend, looking at Fresno and UCF and Utah State saying, hey, is there a chance UAB could be in a New Year's Six Bowl with some scoreboard help here? It's amazing a conversation to have about what UAB is putting together this year.
I think UAB is on the verge of owning the single best story of the college football season. It's already fantastic, but as they – assuming they clinch that, and I think it's a pretty fair guess they will, this story is so spectacular based on what everyone there went through, what Bill Clark has overcome, and it's going to be treated that way, too. Listen, around the country, this program has been adopted by so many people, and it's something to point toward as a very positive story in a sport that rarely sees this type of result. Usually it's the other way. Programs get shut down, they never come back. I doubt he will win it, because there are other coaches who will get more of the headlines, but certainly someone should, and maybe we all should start a campaign for Bill Clark for National Coach of the Year, because I think the job he has done is that good.
Paul, thank you very much. Have a great week. Always nice talking with you.
My pleasure, guys. See you next week.
All right, bye.
Follow Ryan Brown on Twitter and Instagram @RyanBrownWJOX.